Piper stops development on the Altair jet. A university has 27 planes damaged by hail. And an airport whistleblower may lose his job. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, October 25th, 2011. New Piper Interim CEO Simon Caldwell said last week that it would only take a few days to review the company's business jet development program, and yesterday the verdict came in. Piper says it is indefinitely suspending further development of the Piper Altair following a review to align the company's business goals with a light jet market outlook, investment strategies, and overall economic forecasts. Caldicott notes, quote, "Unfortunately and regrettably, this will have serious consequences for many talented Piper employees and for our Piper Altair customers," unquote. Depositors will be given the choice of a refund or of having their deposits counted toward the purchase of other Piper products. Piper appears anxious to do right by the employees who will be affected. Placement assistance will be provided by the company, and there will also be a new enterprise launched to provide third-party engineering services to outside companies. Called Design by Piper, the new division will take advantage of what the company says is the high level and wide range of some of the talent that had been assigned to the Altair development program. Caldicott says a step up in piston product improvements will put some of those displaced jet development personnel to work, but not all of them. Middle Tennessee State University has made a big investment in its aerospace program over the years, including a fleet of 30 training aircraft, including 19 Diamond DA-40s and a handful of Piper Arrows, Seminoles, and other types. Sadly, 90% of the fleet, or 27 airplanes, are now grounded indefinitely after getting caught in golf ball-sized hail on October 18th. Wayne Dorman, who chairs the Middle Tennessee State University Department of Aerospace, told the Daily News Journal that controllers at Murfreesboro Municipal Airport saw the storm on the way, and a new storm detection system being tested at the time provided enough warning to get the planes that were in the air back on the ground before the storm got to the airport. Dornan said of the hail, quote, "It could have done some serious damage, and I don't particularly see a plane being able to make it through a hailstorm of that intensity," unquote. The cost for repairs has yet to be estimated. Dornan says he prefers not to think about what that will cost. Scottsdale Airport Advisory Commissioner John Washington filed a complaint with the FAA after the Scottsdale, Arizona City Council voted to greenlight a 240-unit apartment building just 3,600 feet off the north end of Runway 3. In response, Scottsdale Mayor Jim Lane has called for Washington's resignation. Washington tells the Arizona Republic that he complained as a Scottsdale citizen, not as an airport commissioner, that Lane doesn't speak for the whole council, and that he has no plans to resign. But Washington's dismissal could be likely when the city council considers the matter. The measure to approve the apartments was approved by the council by a 6-1 vote. In his letter, obtained by the Republic, Lane comments, quote, "John, your actions have seriously impaired your ability to serve as an airport advisory commissioner. They appear to be an attempt to undermine the authority of the council, to usurp its decision, and to damage the city's relationship with the FAA in an effort to make your point of opposition to a council action," unquote. In his own letter to the FAA, Washington suggested the council had violated an FAA grant assurance, requiring that land use be restricted to activities and purposes compatible with normal airport operations. Up next on ANN, Garmin's ESP gets an STC from EASA. NASA's Lori Garver cautions Congress to cut the budget carefully. And an infamous JetBlue attendant has graduated from rehab. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, October 25th. I'm Paul Plack. Garmin says it has received the European Aviation Safety Agency's validation of the U.S. Supplemental Type Certificate for the installation of Garmin's Electronic Stability and Protection, or ESP, and Iridium Data Link in G1000-equipped King Air 200 and B200 models. These technologies offer pilots unique safety-enhancing capabilities, such as stability augmentation, an onboard worldwide data link weather solution, and a variety of voice and data services. Garmin ESP works in the background during the flight to assist the pilot in maintaining the aircraft in a safe, flight-stable condition, helping to prevent the onset of stalls and spins, steep spirals, or other loss of control conditions. ESP gently nudges the controls back toward stable flight whenever pitch, roll, or high-speed deviations exceed the recommended limits and will then disengage when the aircraft returns to normal flight. The STC also includes approval for Garmin's Iridium-based transceiver, the GSR-56, which gives access to worldwide weather. Radar, satellite imagery, lightning, SIGMET, and AirMET data is also available in select countries throughout Europe. The GSR-56 also offers an Iridium voice and data service with a subscription that lets pilots or passengers make worldwide Iridium-based calls or send and receive text messages while in flight or on the ground. From the cockpit, the dialing interface is provided through the multifunction display, and incoming call messages are prioritized with other oral messages. Interested King Air owners should contact their authorized Garmin G1000 upgrade dealers. NASA Deputy Administrator Lori Garver spoke Thursday at the International Symposium for Personal and Commercial Spaceflight in Las Cruces, New Mexico. She called on Congress to look carefully at bang for buck before making arbitrary cuts in NASA's budget for developing commercial spaceflight. The Obama administration has budgeted $850 million in the current fiscal year to let NASA help develop private sector alternatives from four companies. The Senate wants to cut that by 63%, the House by 41%. Garver noted that the Russians now charge $50 million per seat to transport U.S. astronauts to the International Space Station. Reuters reports that Garver observed, quote, "One additional year of buying this service from the Russians will cost the United States about $450 million. If you take the Senate $500 million mark, take it up $350 million, giving it to U.S. companies today to get to our requested amount, it gives us the best chance to be able to replace this foreign government service by 2016. That's the choice," unquote. The Russian space agency has tripled what it charges the U.S. since the date for the end of the U.S. shuttle program was announced. A researcher at Georgia State University says operational errors among air traffic controllers between December 2008 and October 2010 have risen 3,300% compared to January of 2007 and November of 2008. And he says the most likely cause for that dramatic increase is a contract for training awarded to Raytheon worth nearly $1 billion. Complicating the matter, says Professor Jack Williams, is that the FAA official in charge of negotiating the contract and the Raytheon executive with whom she made the deal, himself a former FAA employee, were involved in a romantic affair while the program was being put together. An Enterprise report appearing in the Daily Caller, published in Washington, D.C., indicates that the relationship between Charlie Keegan of Raytheon and Maureen Knopes, who was in charge of restructuring the system of training air traffic controllers, was well known, and they eventually married in August of 2007. The FAA blames the rise in reports of errors not on that training, but on a new self-reporting system that allows controllers to anonymously report their mistakes. Charges of favoritism in the bidding process resulted in a lawsuit against Raytheon by a much smaller company, Washington Consulting Group. Raytheon calls the suit frivolous and irresponsible. And finally today, Steven Slater became something of an internet celebrity after using profanity over a JetBlue airplane intercom, grabbing a couple of beers, popping an emergency chute, and sliding from the jet to the ranks of the unemployed in August of last year. At the time, Slater said he was fed up with his job, a problem which was promptly remedied by his bosses at JetBlue. USA Today reports that Slater has just completed his court-ordered rehab program, but he's still on the hook for $10,000 the judge said he had to reimburse JetBlue for opening that emergency slide. He's reportedly paying $831.25 a month to the Department of Probation for his antics, according to Long Island's Newsday. The Daily News says Slater's home in New York was destroyed by Hurricane Irene, and that he's planning to move to California and write a memoir about his 20 years in the airline industry. Wonder what the last chapter will be about. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.